The Bears win, and it is a great Friday or Saturday or whenever you're listening to us. And without further ado, let's get to the man of the hour.
Good blocking on the perimeter, and that opens it up for Tyler Scott.
Tyler Scott of the Tyler Scott Show. I am Adam Reich, of course. How are we feeling after a huge Thursday night victory?
Feels great. Feels great. I mean, to get a home win Thursday night, that was my first one, you know, at home, Thursday night football game at home in front of the home, you know, home crowd of Soldier Field. So feels good. You know, it was a good game just as far as just a football game, you know, just from a fan standpoint, just watching a Thursday night football game. Went down to the final drive, went down to the wire, end up, you know, their guy ended up missing the field goal at the last second, you know. So, you know, that's football, though. You know, that's football. That was a true football game, just, you know, two teams going at it. So, you know, it was fun. And, yeah, we got the win. So it feels great.
It really does feel great. And, of course, you know, Eddie Pinero was a former Bears kicker. I love our kicker. Cairo is amazing. Oh, yeah. I know he on the stat sheet, he's 3 for 3, but he was 4 for 4. I think that is one of the most underrated things about it. Just having, I mean, you didn't live through the double doink, so you don't know what it's like to have the luxury of having a kicker. But you brought it up, though. The final drive, you know, it's set up by Eddie P's miss. You guys get the ball back, and I think most people will, like, run the football. They burned a timeout, so you're like, okay, well, you could actually burn 40 seconds by running the football. Right. You know, when you call a passing play, people are nervous. How does the team feel? Like, I mean, obviously you have a lot of confidence in Tyson. What is it like when that call comes in and you're like, oh, we're passing for it? I feel like you got to get a little bit of a boost out of that.
No, definitely. That's just we're going. The way I like to put it is we were playing to win and not playing not to lose, if that makes sense. You know, and I think that was just one of those situations where it was like, we're going to go take it. You know, I think we're kind of midfield there. And it was just one of those things like, yeah, we're going for the win. We're going to get the first down. We're not going to do the typical, all right, we're going to run the ball. They're going to waste the time out. We're going to take some time off. Okay, then punt it to them, play the field position game. And then usually, you know, if you watch the NFL, it's going to, you know, teams are going to play this kind of pre-vintage type defense. Yeah. You know, not a lot of big play. And then teams just going to kind of drive down the field slowly, methodically, maybe a big play here, a big play there. And then somehow they end up in field goal range again. And, you know, they maybe get a chance to win the game. But, you know, they don't get a chance to win the game if they don't get the ball again. So I think that was just a great choice as far as just going for sure.
Scared money don't make money. So I love the idea of it. I love the play call. You know, at first I was like, I'm like, you know, let's go. I mean, I'm not saying that the season's over by any stretch of the imagination. We've talked about this, about how the Lions turned it around last year. Now it gives you a little bit of juice. And so what do you do? What are you going to do over the weekend to try to keep this momentum going? Because the mini buys are good in the sense of like, hey, we get some time to recuperate, some time to rest. But at the same time, like, I bet you're chomping at the bit to get back at it. What are you going to be doing over the rest of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, I think the number one thing is just recovering, you know, just having to go and play a Sunday game, you know, at New Orleans. You know, that was a tough battle. That was a true football game, you know, for me especially. I mean, just going out there, I felt like a true NFL football game. And then going, you know, on a short week, coming back a few days later to play again on a Thursday night, you know, in another game came down to the wire there in the fourth quarter. You know, that takes a lot. On the body, and not just on the body, but also mentally. You know, mentally that takes a lot. Just having to, you know, mentally prepare for, you know, that game on Sunday and have a short week and then prepare, you know, for the next game. You know, that just takes a lot mentally. And then having that type of two intense games, that takes a lot, you know, mentally. So I think the biggest thing is, you know, really just, you know, getting your mentals back as well as just trying to get your body back right. Those are the first things, first and foremost. And then obviously just looking at the game, where do we do good? Where do we do bad? You know, what can we do to feed off of, you know, some of our positives from this past game and to keep riding that kind of wave? You know, so, you know, we can hopefully get 2 in a row because that's something we haven't done yet. So that's what we're looking to go for, is to get that 2 in a row.
I was going to save a lot of that for the Tuesday show because I don't want to dwell into the negative of like, yeah, that's the one thing that we've been out. we've been unable to do over the last 2 years is follow these victories up with another victories. And we'll talk about this a little bit more. I do want to talk about, I love your bravado, because this is the second time that we've done a show on Friday after a Thursday night game. And it's a big risk. Like, it's really a risk. I'm like, you guys, like, I don't want to come in. I don't want to have that. I know that we're good now. So it's really like, now that we officially know each other, we've hung out in person, it's a little bit easier, but it's always like, oh, if this game goes south, especially to the Panthers, like, did you guys feel like, because this, honestly, like, no disrespect, you can't lose to the Panthers. You just can't. Do you guys, now I know fans are into this. Like, this is what we talk about. We're like, hey, the Panthers we have the Panthers pick. So we can't lose this. Like, we don't want to lose that because we want them to have the number one overall selection. And that's not saying like we don't want Justin Fields to be our quarterback. I mean, we could draft, we won't draft Marvin. Oh, actually, it's worse to talk about Marvin Harrison Jr. in front of you. We don't want him. We want linemen. But the thing of it is like the fans are so mindful of like the thing of, hey, that we have the Panthers pick. Do the players even, do you even know? And do you even care?
I think it just depends on the player, you know, how invested they are into, you know, I think the draft process and all those different things. But I mean, I think personally, you know, when you're going out playing, you're not thinking like, oh, we got to do this, that, and the third so we can get this pick and that pick. You know, I think you're just, at the end of the day, you're just playing because, you know, even though you may, you know, may not end up, let's say you're not a Chicago Bear, you know, at the end of the season. You may be somewhere else. So you're playing not for just the Chicago Bears, but you're also playing as far as just your resume, you know, putting good film out there for all the other teams. So your attitude as far as coming into a game, as far as whether you're playing for this or that, you're truly just playing so you can put your best foot forward, you know, for the team and, you know, for yourself as well. So, you know, if things don't work out where you're at, where your butt is, you know, when you have another opportunity later down the line, it's because of what you did at your previous stint somewhere else, is why you have an opportunity to play somewhere else. So, you know, we don't really look at like, okay, we got to win this so we can get this pick or this, that, and the third. It's just, we got to win the football game. You know, we got to win the football game and, you know, I got to put my best foot forward.
I want to keep making money doing this for a living. So I need to go out there and have a good play or play well, regardless. It's so funny. Cause I had this conversation with a coworker of mine who tried to espouse the point of like, yeah. And then they're motivated by this number one. And I'm like, they don't care. I go, and it's not, it's not a bad thing. Like the fans care, obviously, but like for the players, but like you said, like you got to go out to play because that's your gig, you know, and you want to make sure that you're doing your best. Like when I'm sitting here on the NFL Network and I'm out there crushing it, doing whatever I'm doing, the hype train, Jim Cramer, that helps no one. I don't care if the NFL Network's making money as much as like where I'm at next year, whether it's NFL Network, Yahoo, ESPN, I don't know. I want to keep that stuff going. So that's the way normal people think about their job. So stop it, weirdos. The players are not motivated by the number one pick. Although it's fun for us fans to sit here and talk ass about the Panthers.
That's part of just being a fan. You know, you're rooting for a team, especially if you're a long-term fan, like, you know, you're just rooting for a team and you're looking at the possibilities for your team of like where it can go and things of that nature. But as a player, you know, I think you just work where your feet are, you know, you work where your feet are, you're putting your best foot forward, because we have families to feed, you know, we're not going out there and, you know, messing around. Like this is serious business for us. So, no, definitely.
Well, I think, Montez Sweat can care, Darnell Wright, and that's it. No, I'm just kidding. But like the guys who signed long-term deals, I'm just kidding. What was it? I don't know. I want to ask, okay. One of the things we've talked about this, we keep talking about this, you know, the Lions turned it around from 2-6. One of the things that have made the Lions so successful over the last couple of years is how much they've really invested in the trenches. Like they've done a great job of building the offensive line and the defensive line. I know you probably haven't. I'm not sure if you've watched the film yet or anything like that, but I went on the NFL Network today. Actually, we filmed it this morning. It should have aired by the time that this is going on. I'm sorry. We're taping so many different things. I'm pulling back the curtain. I tape everything except for the Thursday show and the Monday show. Yeah. I'm not even going to try to lie. But we were going and I was we did a segment where it's like, what did you learn about Thursday night on Thursday Night Football? And I changed it into like, what did you learn? Because I already knew this, The offensive line has been playing playing really good. And I thought last night having Braxton Jones back was huge. You know, you're in there. You'll probably see a lot of this stuff pop off on tape, but it's like, how great is the offensive line play? Because it really seemed to help Tyson back there.
No, it's huge. I mean, not just Tyson, you know, but also just the run game, you know, just being able to have those positive yards. And, you know, it's a full unit effort, you know, just from the offensive line to the tight ends, to the receivers blocking downfield on making those big runs happen. You know, those things that, you know, we try to take pride in, you know, trying to be on our deal of just being able to run the ball. And, you know, that helps Tyson, you know, with our play action game, being able to, you know, roll out. And, you know, we see a lot of that in our game lately, a lot of play action passes and things of that nature because of the effectiveness of the run game, you know. So, that's been huge, just having the offensive line. Darnell Wright doing a phenomenal job coming in and, you know, just how he's been since he stepped in the league. Like, he's just – you know, he's had some tough battles. Like, he's had some tough battles and some tough guys he's had to see each week, and he's held his own. So, you know, it's just good seeing those guys and just seeing how they've just progressed. And another thing, too, is just how they've had to hop around, you know, kind of all season with injuries and things of that nature. Guys getting moved to guard, to center, to tackle. Like, there's just guys moving around, may not play their primary position or the position that they, you know, feel maybe the most comfortable for them, but they've just stepped in and taking it and, you know, just attacked the full force head on. So I think it's just kudos to them for just how they prepared and also to the coach as well.
Yeah, Tevin Jenkins, I mean, he's played just about every position on the offensive line, it feels like. Started this season as the left guard. Nate Davis is now battling injuries, and then he switched back to right guard. And Lucas Patrick, you know, it's funny as enough, Lucas Patrick was one of the highest graded linemen, I think, in run blocking last night. So he did a tremendous job as well. So it's really nice to see the offensive line come around, because it will help out when Justin Fields returns, and it feels like his return is becoming imminent. Obviously, we've talked about this before, and we love what Tyson's been able to do, but it's clear Justin Fields is the number one quarterback. How excited are we to eventually get him back? No knock on Tyson Bagent, who's been playing fantastic, but are we excited to get Justin Fields back?
Oh, definitely. Tyson, first and foremost, he's done a great job stepping
amazing.
In.
Amazing.
He's done a phenomenal job from coming, you know, playing. I've been seeing like the last, like they've been showing it on social media, the last like 10 games he's played. And it's like, okay, who's that? Raiders, Broncos, Minnesota Vikings. Like, it's like, wow, you know, just to go from that caliber to that caliber. And then perform at the way he's performing going, I think, 2-2 now. You know, so far. So, I mean, he's just done a phenomenal job attacking, you know, the starting role, just being thrown in there. And I think he's done a great job. So, but then, I mean, obviously you got Justin, who's, you know, coming back from injury, and he's been such a great teammate, you know, for Tyson, just his energy, how he's been, just not towards Tyson, but just to the whole locker room, his energy, how he's been coaching me up on different things, you know, that he sees from his standpoint, you know, through practices and through games. So, you know, his attitude's been great as far as just getting back, and you can tell he's, you know, eager to try to get back out there. So, it's going to be huge to get him back, and hopefully we can just continue to ride the wave we've been riding the last couple of weeks offensively.
It didn't escape my notice. I posted the video on my Twitter feed, him celebrating in the locker room, which number one is clutch. I really liked, well, no, I want him to be engaged. Like, obviously he's a member of this team. I don't want him sulking or doing anything. It's kind of like when the Patriots won the Super Bowl and Tom Brady was out there, you know, winning the Super Bowl, he went to go hug Drew Bledsoe, and Drew Bledsoe looked like he would have rather have been anyplace else in the world other than on the sideline of the Super Bowl. So it's good to see that your quarterback is so engaged. But I did notice he was slapping hands with his right hand. Does that mean, is his right hand, is it good? Like, because can you not shake his hand? Do you have to fist bump him? Like, how do you deal with that? It feels like he's so close.
Yeah, everyone's like, he looks healthy to me. Yeah, no. No, he's you know, I personally, like, I just kind of go off of how he's the one that kind of, you know, sets the pace for that. Like, even like, I know I was, you know, catching some passes, you know, kind of pregame the last couple weeks. And I would kind of toss it back to him. I'm like, okay, let me just go and toss it back to the left hand. Let me just, you know, just to make sure, you know. And then, like, when we, you know, we dap up, I just kind of let him, okay, put his right hand down. Okay, cool. So, you know, okay, we're good there. But you know, he's not going to be dapping guys up when he's on the field. You know, he's going to be running for his life. You know, just trying to, you know, make plays and things of that nature. So that's a little different. You know,
You
know, 300-pound guys running at you, then you got to protect yourself. And there's at times where you really can't protect yourself. You got to stand strong and take hits as a quarterback. So you know, it's a little different dynamic. You know, when you're back there and you know, you got guys running at you and they can hit you, then, you know, just kind of sitting back there, just throwing the ball and looking pretty, you know? So,
yeah.
You know, those are two different, you know, scenarios and two different, you know, atmospheres, but, no, I think he's coming along. So we'll see, you know, moving forward when he'll be back.
You know, you have no experience in this yet, but, my kids, they hurt my thumbs more than any other thing, any other part of my, like, whatever it is that they do, like a random foot, they jump on you or whatever. It's like my thumbs just end up like, God, how are you hurting my thumb? So I can commiserate. And that's why I don't, you know, that's why I got to be very careful when I shake hands with people or anything like that. I meant to ask too, like, you're allowed to talk to Justin Fields, right? Like, there's no, like, I don't know. You're a rookie. I don't know. Like, I don't let new researchers talk to me. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, wow.
No, I'm joking. I'm teasing. I'm joking. I would not be that way. It's a lot of the veterans. No, DJ Moore. This was something that was, I don't know, like they never call offensive pass interference in the NFL, and yet somehow he gets called for it twice. How heated was he? Is he mad? Because I know he looked mad.
Yeah, he was not happy, you know. And this, you know, DJ is pretty, you know, cool, you know, more collected guy. Doesn't show too much crazy emotion as far as anger wise. He was angry. He was pretty upset on that one. And you know, he was just trying to run his route. And the guy ended up running into him. He was definitely upset. We were on the sideline, you know, yelling at the refs. Like, it was, yeah. So no, you're right on that one.
And he was, you know, he was the most targeted receiver yesterday too. So it's like they tried to get him involved in the game, and it's just frustrating to see, like, the referees kind of establishing that guy. By the way, he's a yak monster too. Like, that was like,
Oh my gosh. Anytime he gets the ball in his hands, like, if he catches it for five, he'll get you 10. Like, and that's one thing I didn't even realize until I was able to watch him in the game, how good he really was after the catch. You know, I didn't really watch him when he was at Maryland and even too much when he was in North Carolina, just kind of knew about him. But then as I became his teammate, I'm like, you know, going through camp, you know, you don't really get to see much of the yak, you know, aspect, you know, because you don't got guys really tackling you through camp and things of that nature. So I was like, okay, man, this guy can catch the ball pretty good. But then we get into the game, I'm like, not only can he catch the ball, he knows how to make people miss. Like, he's just a guy that just get the ball, you know, in his hands, he'll break tackles, you know, he's throwing guys off of him. He's just so – he's not even the quickest dude in the world. It's just like he just has this – understanding of how to just make people miss, just kind of shiftiness that he has in the open field. So, that's something that's, you know, been a surprise to me, of just kind of learning about his game for sure. But, you know, it's something good to see.
He's very impressive. And he's been one of my favorite players in the league, although I was always upset with his situation in Carolina, because I always felt like, you know, I feel like he's one of the best receivers in the game. You just got to get him the ball. And I do appreciate last night that the game plan was to get him the ball. So that was good. One other thing I will say about that game though, offensively, that's important to note here, is on NFL Fantasy Live on Thursday, we had to go make a bold prediction. And mine was Tyler Scott was going to score his first touchdown, which, by the way, one of our producers asked me, would that be his first ever? And I'm like, no, he's scored plenty of touchdowns in his life. Great in high school, great at the University of Cincinnati. He scored.
I don't think he makes it this far by not scoring a touchdown.
How dare he? This guy, that guy needs to be fired. But in any event, I did make the prediction that you were going to score your first NFL touchdown. It felt like in the second quarter, going back and we're watching the replay, and I'm like, you know what? That was my, not so much your moment, but more or less my moment, because I would have called it. Do you remember that play? Do you think that it feels like there might have been one left on the table?
Yeah. That was a tough one, you know, but I think, you know, looking back at it too, looking at, you know, just the play in general, you know, I got to do a better job as well. I think it just, keeping my, I mean, I'm just kind of running the open field, because I think they definitely busted in coverage. For sure. But I think I got to do a better job, maybe just keeping my route just a little more skinny, you know, up the middle of the field, maybe because, you know, the backside cornerback, that could have maybe scared him. Him coming underneath there, you know, maybe getting to his vision a little bit could have, you know, scared Tyson where he's like, ah, maybe I don't want to make that throw. You know, so that's, you know, looking at it as far as what I can do better on that, just kind of making the window or making the picture a lot more clearer for him. So, you know, as he's standing back there, you got a lot of the process going through your reads.
Yeah.
You know, so he can just be more decisive with his decision and not have to think twice about it. So, you know, but, you know, it happens in the game. You know, guys make mistakes, guys miss, you know, throws, guys drop passes, guys run the wrong routes, guys, you know, that's the name of the game. That's part of the game. You know, but yeah, so it is what it is.
Yeah. Important to note, it was a busted coverage. It was nothing Tyler did. Like, it was nothing. No, I'm just teasing. I'm kidding you. I'm just playing. But it is one of those things. And I'm joking. Like, I mean, it's easy for us to go back and look at it, things in slow-mo. Like, it's not Madden. You know, you're literally on the field, okay? Like,
field. That kills me. That kills somebody's me all the time where guys are like, oh, just throw it right there. He's open. Or, hey, or like, we're running backs. Like, I hear there's a lot of people who are running backs. You're like, why would he run right there? Shouldn't he just run over there where there's open field over there? I'm like, it's not that easy. Like, you guys don't understand. It's not that easy just to go right here. It's just to do that. You know, it's easy when you're just sitting there and you're just like, oh, yeah, do that. It's not the same.
It is. It's so funny because, like, what is he seeing? I'm like, you try it one time. Like, you go down and give just once, and you'll be amazed at how difficult that is.
Realize how hard it is.
And also, like, and that's one of the troubling things too, is because, like, whenever there is a busted coverage, when things are not to where they're supposed to be, that's worse because you trust what you're reading at the line of scrimmage, and you're like, you feel like you're missing something. So it's very scary.
Right, I can throw your rules off when you're running. Like, when I was running my route, I'm like, okay, I'm
like, you shouldn't be that open. Yeah, you know, like,
yeah, I'm like, where's the guy I'm supposed to be running my route off of? But I'm like, okay, you know, so, but you know, that's the game.
It is the game. It all is a part of it. I got to ask you this though. So, I just retweeted this, and I know that you put this on your Instagram story before the game. Your locked arms. I don't know why I notice things like this because I'm a weirdo. But you were locked arms with Bojack, Eddie Jackson. You're hanging out with one of the defensive guys. How does this, how do you feel? Like, I didn't know. Can you guys hang out? Do you get, again, I make a joke about you talking to Justin Fields. Like, do you talk to Eddie Jackson? That's pretty cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, offensive and defense, you know, we're a tight group. You know, we love talking to each other, especially in the locker room. You know, just our camaraderie. You know, I think that's what, you know, is going to build our team chemistry, and that's what's been able to keep us all together, you know, through our tough times, is the fact that we're able to talk to each other and be real to each other. You know, that's what brings us closer together. So it's no like, oh, I can't talk to Justin because he's up here, Bojack. You know, no, it's, you know, those guys have been, you know, great as far as, you know, towards the rookies. Just making us feel part of, you know, part of the team and not, you know, kind of singing us out like, oh, you're down here and we're up here, you know, which is great. You know, I think, you know, for a rookie coming in, it just, you know, I think it just allows a rookie to take a little bit more of a breath because you have so many things coming in that you're worried about, you know, trying to, you know, put your best foot forward, trying to be the guy that they, you know, see you to be and all these different things. And then on top of that, having to deal with, you know, older guys or vets looking down on you and, you know, making you not feel apart. Like that would be another thing you would have to battle and what worse of a battle to not have your own teammates to, you know, really have your back. And so, you know, I think they've just done a great job of, you know, being the opposite of that, of really just bringing me in with open arms, even though the crazy thing is, I haven't really done nothing yet as far as, you know, especially walking in the building, hadn't done nothing yet for the team, you know, but them just looking at you as, okay, you're one of us now, you know, you're part of the squad and, you know, we're going to take you as if you're your own. So, you know, like Justin, you know, inviting me down to come train in Florida. Like for me, that was, you know, that could have been just being like, hey, I'm just, you know, whatever. But for me, that's huge because it's like, okay, like he sees me as, you know, a guy that he's going to want to depend on, you know, leaning in the future. And then being able to spend time with those guys and then just taking, you know, them under my, you know, me under their wing and, you know, just like I said, just bringing me in, you know. So I think those things are huge. So just brings the team closer together.
Yeah, that wasn't Justin part of the prank, the dinner? Like, he was part of it. Like, that's cool. It's not like it's just Equanimeous St. Brown, no disrespect. But it's like, no, it's him and DJ Moore and players like that.
Yeah,
But I will say this, because Matt Eberflus said in his press conference today, or acknowledged in his press conference today, that the entire defense was given the game ball. We talked earlier about the rebuild on the offensive line. The defense is really, like, that was really a huge defensive game. They did not give up an offensive touchdown. They're getting to the quarterback. The defense has been playing really well. It felt like Kyler Gordon, too. This was a huge opportunity for him. Like, there's a guy that we've loved. You know, he's coming out of Washington. He was a second round pick. And it's funny, because it's starting to change now, because last year, everybody's like, why didn't you take Christian Watson? Why didn't you take George Pickens? Those two guys not necessarily playing great right now. Mm-hmm. Kyler Gordon comes out on a Thursday night game, plays really well. Kirk Herbstreit's blowing him up. Like, it's great.
Yeah.
How impressed were you with the defense overall and guys like Kyler Gordon who just made a huge impact?
Yeah, no, the defense are playing. They've been playing really great as of late, you know. And you know, offensively, you know, we've left points out. They've been in a great field position, and we've left points on the board and things of that nature. So, like, they've been doing their job of just putting us in the best situations so we could put points on the board. So, I think, you know, kudos to the whole defense. You know, getting guys back healthy, and even the guys that, you know, had to step up, you know, in those roles, where they'd be, you know, Jalen Jones having to step up and playing cornerback when, you know, Tyreek was down for a little bit, and, you know, Elijah Hicks stepping in there for Bojack, and, you know, Jack Sanborn stepping in for Tremaine Edmonds.
Like, oh, I thought he was going to have a pick. That play was good.
Yeah. Oh, the whole stadium. Yeah, no, for sure. You know, it ended up turning out good. But, yeah, so I think, you know, those guys have just been stepping up, you know, doing a great job. TJ Edwards having a phenomenal year, has been a dog the whole year. So defense has been great. And then you talked about Kyler. Kyler has been somebody to me that has really impressed me since I first stepped in the building. You know, I didn't really know too much about him. I just knew that he went to Washington. And then I think he's in his second year, right?
Yeah.
He's in his second year. And I'm just watching this dude play. I'm like, man, this dude is good. He just looking at other vets that I've seen play, like, he reminds me of a veteran type of guy. Just his play style, the way he plays, the kind of way he manipulates DBs, as far as, like, he's probably the hardest dude to block. Like, it is so hard to block this dude in the open field, especially him at the slot. Like, he's so shit. Like, he has that Spider-Man like type, you know, like, athleticism to him. Like, yeah. He just knows how to crawl around blocks, and he just shoots downhill. So, I mean, he's somebody that, since I first entered the building and started playing, like, really stood out to me, was like, this dude is a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and it was great to listen to Herbstreit talk about how good this defensive secondary can be once everybody gets healthy and ready to go. And we've seen, like Jalen Johnson, his the passer rating when targeted is one of the lowest in the leagues, if not the lowest. I think it's somewhere in the 40s. And you see a lot of these guys playing well, Jack Sanborn, TJ Edwards. I know that you let go a guy like Roquan Smith. You traded him for a second rounder, which, you know, it looks bad because the Ravens are playing so well. But like you said, TJ Edwards has been so good, and we really haven't seen the best of Tremaine Edmonds yet. So that's a huge thing. But one of the things that really impressed me last night was Montez Sweat. And again, I know you don't get into this because this is more of a fan thing, but there's been some former GMs and people, like, when this trade goes down, it was like, this is a dumb pick unless they sign him long term. And you're like, okay, well, we signed him long term. And they're like, well, that's a lot. I'm like, yeah, like, these guys make a lot of money. Like, they've earned it. They make a lot of money. So it was great last night in a primetime game that, in front of the entire world, Montez Sweat goes out there and gets 8 quarterback pressures. How big has he been for the defense? I know you've had him for, what, 8 days. But how big has his presence been with the team during that short time?
Yeah, I think it's been huge, you know, just having that added guy to come in and, you know, just take that leap forward for us. And, you know, to be that type of presence, to bring him, to be the guy that they brought him in to be. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's just out there showing, you know, why they signed him to the deal that they did. And that was one of the things that I talked to him personally. He was like, yeah, man, you know, he said, I'm going to show everyone, you know, why they signed me. And, you know, I'm going to show him why I belong here. And, you know, that was something that he made very clear. So just to his teammates, you know, just that type of mentality. And obviously we're happy for him just being able to, you know, get that deal done. But, you know, just on the football side, he, you know, seems like a guy that, you know, I haven't, you know, got to know him, you know, too much yet, you know, just kind of on the football side. But the little conversation that I had with him, talking to him, first of all, is a great dude. You know, as far as a teammate so far, like, having a conversation with him. You know, he's been a really cool dude to talk to. And, you know, he just, you know, just seems like a guy that's just willing to work and just wants to push his best foot forward. And that's what he's been doing so far.
And then don't be afraid to point, say, the bald guy from the fantasy show. That guy's cool. Which is, by the way, that's how Ryan Poles, I found out. That's how Ryan Poles describes me to people. The bald guy from your network. I'm not saying who he was. Listen, I'll take it. But he knows, like, yeah, I don't know. I guess there's only one other bald guy, I think. Maybe two. But whatever. Like, I'll take it. Listen, our friend Darnell Mooney knew who I was. And he made that he big did. Play. And I think it was because – I think it was my pep talk in L.A., that helped him make that catch last night to help seal the game.
Yeah. I'm going. No, he came off the field. He was like, "Man, if it wasn't for Adam,"
he's like, "You know,
if it wasn't for Adam, man, I'm."
he was pumping me up at SoFi, and it took a week, but I got there, and it's all pretty good. So this is a fun time. This is a fun time to be a member of the Chicago Bears family and extended family. It's really such a good feeling. Obviously, winning on Thursday. Listen, if we played all our games on Thursday night, Super Bowl, like we would be there. But put the Super Bowl on a Thursday. I love that. Everything's going good. Oh, you know what? Okay. Be careful how you answer this, but I got to ask because I know you grew up a fan of Ohio football, Big Ten football. Mm-hmm. Jim Harbaugh. Did you hear about Jim Harbaugh?
Yeah. I seen a little about he's like sidelined, I believe. He's sidelined. He's like, he can't be there.
He can't be on the sideline during the games. Yeah. As somebody who went to Cincinnati, who grew up rooting for Ohio State, you have to find that a little bit funny. Yeah.
I mean, now, you know, as my older self, I'm just like, yeah, you know, I didn't go to Ohio State. You know, I don't have the same feeling for Ohio State that I once did. Maybe
I got you.
Through the recruiting process and, you know, things of that nature. But, you know, I just kind of see that and I just kind of like, oh, sucks for them. So,
but you still have to hate Michigan. So that's fun.
Regardless
of where you went, you still hate Michigan. That's the whole point. Like everything that's going on.
I definitely haven't lost. Like, I think it was definitely ingrained in me of like, you know, you don't even say Michigan. Like, it was just like that team up north, you know? So, yeah.
The maize and blue or whatever it's called. Like, yeah, like, oh, I feel so bad for them, whether you're a fan of Ohio State or not. It is wild. A lot of things going on that team in any event. But listen, it's a great time to be a member of the Chicago Bears. It's a great time to be a fan, at least for this small, I'm not going to say a small window, but like, this is good. Like, we beat the Panthers. We got their pick. The defense is starting to come. It feels like, I don't know. Again, we talk about this every week, and I know you say the same thing. Like, our ultimate goal is still the Super Bowl. But this feels legitimate for the first time in a while where, like, it does feel like – because, like all the things we've talked about today, offensive line feels like it's coming together. Defensive line looks – okay, you got Yannick Ngakoue. You got Montez Sweat, okay?
Jones, he had a
nice game yesterday. He was good. The secondary's getting healthy. TJ Edwards is doing pretty good. I mean, outside of Tremaine Edmonds, it feels like, you know, everything's starting to come together for the first time. I know this has been brand new to you. You're 10 weeks in, or you're 10 NFL weeks, 10 NFL games into this. How does it feel? Does it feel different? Does it feel like, you know, we talk about this, but does it feel like, yeah, the momentum is finally starting to get on our side?
No, for sure. For sure. I think each week, you know, the record may say something, you know, but I think when you just look at our team and just our bond of us coming together, I know personally, this is at least from my perspective, personally, mm-hmm. you know, I'm looking at, you know, my receiver room, the offensive unit room, the defense. I feel like I've gotten closer to each guy, you know, each week, you know, as the season progressed. Like, I've honestly felt that. I feel like I've developed, you know, new relationships and even stronger relationships with the guys that have, you know, been that I've been in the locker room with, which people don't understand, like, how huge that really is to have, you know, those type of relationships. You know, I've had, you know, after the game yesterday, you had Jaquan Brisker, you know, talking to me like, "Hey, man, like, that was a huge catch, man. That was a huge catch that you made, you know, on fourth down." You know, just hearing that from the defensive side, like, they see those things, you know. And so just having, you know, guys, multiple guys come up to me and, you know, "Hey, man, nice job this, nice job that." And then it just carries out through the week of you guys just working together. Like, people don't understand, like, how big of an impact when you have a great team chemistry, like, how much that can really fuel, you know, your team of being successful. Like, you can have a whole bunch of, you know, pieces on a team. And you've seen that in multiple sports where you have, you know, a lot of teams that have great talent together. as far as on paper. But if you don't have that team chemistry and camaraderie and that togetherness, you'll never be as good as you want to be. And, you know, personally, just going through the season, you know, I felt I've grown, you know, a lot closer to a lot of those guys. And I feel like our team has definitely grown a lot closer going through adversity, you know, and just through these ups and downs and different things that have been thrown our way, you know, for sure, you know, just through this season. So I think that's a huge positive I can take, you know, moving, you know, forward into the season and even forward, you know, into the following season.
No, yeah, a lot of great things to build upon. I'm remiss for not mentioning that catch earlier. I should have led with it. Of course, I had to be the jerk and bring up the one like, you could have had a touchdown. Such a big play, though. You essentially brought it up. Like, what was that? Was that play designed to you? Like, what was happening? Did you know you were going to get the ball there? Like, what's going on when you're in a big moment like that? You know, what is it like when you're running up to the line of scrimmage? You're like, oh my God, I'm going to make this first down.
I mean, first and foremost, I expect to get the ball every play, you know, every time I run a route.
All right.
I mean, you have to run every route like you're about to get the ball. And you have to have that confidence that you're going to get it. So, you know, that's just from a mindset standpoint when you step on the line of scrimmage. And then as far as just kind of the route and the route combination, I think it was like I think he was kind of looking to the boundary there. I think we're in a bunch set. Mm-hmm. He's kind of looking at DJ first. I think that was in the boundary there. Looking to his side, and then kind of I think Mooney had like an over route, and then he's looking to Mooney at the over route, seeing if he's there in his window. So he's kind of going through his progression here, and I think I'm kind of the last progression of that combination, with this kind of, you know, dig route coming from the field, in that progression. And I think the last route was like a chip flat to Cole, but I knew that I was gonna definitely be, you know, viable as far as in the progression for sure. And looking at just kind of the leverage, I want to say they played cover three. Yeah, they played like a 3-week. They brought the safety down, you know, to the backside, kind of where DJ was. And so knowing that, that's, you know, a prime opportunity for that dig winner to open up, because we got a flat guy, flat control guy, and Cole chipping and getting to the flat. So that's going to open my window up because I'll have leverage on the cornerback. And so I made my break, and I'm like, there's a great opportunity. When I make this break, this ball is going to be coming to me, coming out. And made my break. Seeing Tyson, you know, kind of go through his progression and, you know, look my way through it. And I'm like, well, this is my time. It's my time to make a play. And, you know, made the play, got hit. But, you know, just for me, that was just a huge confidence booster just to be able to make that catch, fourth down, keep the chains moving to get points on the board. So, you know, just, yeah, every time I step up, like I said, I expect to get the ball, and I just got to make the best of my opportunities. I think I did.
Well, it was awesome. Could not be more proud of you in that moment and overall throughout the game. It's great to see you continue to go out there and make steps each and every week, see your growth on the field. By the way, I want to remind everybody, since it is going to be a victory weekend, we don't have to worry about anything, and you're looking for something to do, be sure to check out Game Room Chicago, located inside the historic Chicago Athletic Hotel. It features billiards, shuffleboard, skee ball, papa shot, and so much more. It has plenty of space to watch your favorite games, with a menu featuring Michelin-starred chef Mari Katsumura snack foods. There are beer towers, a weekend Bloody Mary bar, and shareable signature cocktails. Game Room Chicago is the place to be on game day, both Saturday and Sunday. Fans of the Big Ten, you want to go watch Penn State and Michigan, go to Game Room Chicago. Want to catch up on everything that's happening on Sunday, watching the game stress-free, knowing that the Bears have already won. Game Room Chicago is the place to be. So, Tyler, I want to thank you so much once again for doing this on Friday, having an opportunity. Listen, we didn't do any of that. We didn't even look ahead. We're not going to worry. We're going to take the weekend. We're going to soak it in. We're going to have a good time. I know that Eberflus has let a lot of you guys just go and, like you said, get your mentals ready, get fired up for a game against the Detroit Lions. We'll talk about that next week, but I want you to go out there, have a great weekend, and thank you so much once again for being here.
Yes, sir.
Oh, and by the way, thank you for tweeting out that you were looking forward to the podcast.
We were
trading some texts, like, look at that. Like, yeah, we're making the big time.
Yeah, definitely.
But we do appreciate you being here. We do thank you for taking some time, especially to talk to the fans. Appreciate everybody.
No problem.
Everybody who is here. So we will be back on Tuesday for another edition of the Tyler Scott Show as we get you ready for that Lions game. But until then, I'm Adam. He's Tyler. Bear down. And Sammy, go ahead and play us out.
And that's a wrap. Hope you don't miss us too much until next time.
Bye.
Follow the Sick Podcast with Adam Rank on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Google Play, and Apple Podcasts.